Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. When today's guest, fiction writer Kate Schatz, was looking for historical, educational, and empowering books for her two-year-old daughter, she wasn't really satisfied with what she found, so she decided to write her own. She says she wanted to focus on the stories that aren't always part of the standard telling of women's history. She says, quote, "With all respect to Susan B. and Rosa and Helen and Gloria, I wanted to try to introduce readers to women they aren't likely to have heard of," end quote. Rad American Women A to Z highlights the stories of 26 diverse, famous, and unsung heroines. These are artists, abolitionists, scientists, rock stars, rabble-rousers, and agents of change. A is for Angela Davis, P is for Patti Smith, R is for Rachel Carson, W is for Wilma Mankiller. I love all of those, but I also love this one. X is for the women whose names we don't know. Rad American Women A to Z is also unique in that it features an equal proportion of women of color and several members of the LGBT community. The book features beautiful illustrations of these rad women by Miriam Klein Stahl. So on today's Your Call, we're talking about this really great new children's book. What lessons can we learn from these rad women, and who would you add to the list. Today I'm joined by Kate Schatz. She's chair of the School of Literary Arts at the Oakland School for the Arts, and she wrote Rad American Women A to Z. And Kate joins me in studio. Hi, Kate. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for having us.
Great to have you.
Long-time listener, first-time guest.
Oh, great. I love when that happens. And Miriam Klein Stahl is a visual artist whose work incorporates drawing and traditional printmaking. She's co-founder of the Arts and Humanities Academy at Berkeley High School, and Miriam also joins us in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. So I love this book. I actually read a lot of it to my mom last night, and it's just so good. And I understand, Kate, that you got this idea when you were looking for a book about women, something that was empowering for your two-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. What did you see? What is out there for that kind of fits that bill?
You know, at the time when I was thinking about this, you know, I had a house full of amazing children's books, many of which were mine when I was a child that my mom saved. And we have a lot of wonderful classics, and those books were fantastic. But I really was thinking about something that would be informative, empowering, and educational and fun for her. And, you know, again, I wasn't finding it. I think there are a lot of children's books these days that are kind of, you know, anti-princess books, the kind of antidote to the Disney fluffy pink princess book. But I wanted something a little beyond that, something that would be a little more historical. I will say that now that I've kind of become immersed in this world, I'm learning about a lot of other great books that are out there. So it's not that there are zero books like this. It's just that there aren't many. And I wanted to be able to add to that.
And this is your first ever children's book.
That is correct.
So how did you come up with this idea? I love also the A to Z. And there's a lot of great mm-hmm. A to Z books out there, vegetables, fruits, that kind of thing. But they're fairly, not to be mean, but simplistic, right?
It's true.
It's not a negative thing to say that. It's just...
It's true. I was a first-time parent. I had a two-year-old. I felt kind of inundated with A to Z books and lists. And most of them had to do with food and animals. So it's good news for the Xenops, which is a rare bird, which is X in every A to Z book. But, you know, there is the wonderful A is for Activist. Shout out to that one.
Right.
But yeah, I wasn't quite seeing that. And I was thinking a lot at the time about my own writing practice. I'm a fiction writer who primarily writes for adults, not for children. But as a new mom, I was thinking about, you know, what was I feeling drawn to creatively and artistically? And it kind of made sense that I might write something for kids.
And you teamed up with Miriam, and the illustrations are just beautiful. I'm looking at Q is for Queen Bessie Coleman, and we'll talk about her in a couple minutes. But there's this great photo of her. She was pilot, and she's in her pilot gear next to her airplane. How did you team up with Miriam?
Miriam and I were acquaintances. We have some mutual friends. I had published some of her work in a literary project that I was editing called the Encyclopedia Project. So I was familiar with her work and was a huge fan. Her work is so bold. She has a really strong commitment to social justice. And I'd seen the portraits she's done of James Baldwin, of Phelan Devi, just incredible heroes. So I really felt like the aesthetic would match what I was trying to do, which was these bold, strong storytelling of these women. So I reached out to her and very happily she said, let's do it.
And Miriam, you have a daughter. What are your thoughts about books out there for kids these days, specifically when you're talking about books that empower children?
Yeah, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and I also teach high school for the past 20 years. And so the high school that I work at, we formed it's called the Arts and Humanities Academy, and we formed it to address the equity gap in our school. So I have a lot of students who have traditionally not done well in school, and there are also students that have never seen themselves in the books that they grew up reading. Mm. And so though I do have a 7-year-old, I also have these older kids that grew up not seeing themselves in books and not feeling empowered by the academics that they were getting in school. And so I wanted to also address that need.
Well, it seems like you've really sparked a conversation on social media about the lack of diversity in children's books. Again, this one is amazing because it features an equal proportion of women of color and several members of the LGBT community. But there was an article in the New York Times last year, and author Walter Dean Myers, a former national ambassador for young people's literature, wrote that of 3,200 children's books published in 2013, just 93 were about black students. And this is getting a lot of attention now on social media. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Kate?
Walter Dean Myers is an amazing writer. He recently passed away, and his work was so important to so many young people, specifically young people of color. And when he wrote that article, it did get a lot of people talking. You know, the We Need Diverse Books campaign has kind of sprung up in the past year. And again, it's addressing a serious lack of equity in children's book publishing, in representation. And, you know, that really started as a couple of writers feeling incredibly frustrated with the lack of representation of authors and characters of color. And it's started as a hashtag, and it's now they're a huge functioning nonprofit. And they're really getting the word out there that children need to see themselves represented in these books. They need to see people that look like them, that have hair like them, that have histories and families and situations like them.
Miriam, what do you hear from students when they talk about what is in books and how they feel about the fact that they're not seeing themselves in books? I mean, I love that you have Wilma Mankiller in your book, a Native American woman, because Native Americans are almost left out of so much. I mean, even studies about race. So it was great to see that in a book of 26 women.
Yeah. We need ethnic studies and African-American studies in all of our schools. And there's very few schools that offer students a sense of empowerment within the classroom. And students are often looking for those resources outside of school. And I think as educators, it's our responsibility to start bringing resources in schools.
And I would add to that that it's equally important for young white children to see representation of people of color in books like this. So I'm white, my daughter is white, and when she's reading this book with me, she's getting exposed to an incredible array of people so that, you know, she gets to see this kind of representation as well. And that was also incredibly important to me.
So how did you go about choosing the women? That's the one thing I was so curious. I was almost turning the pages slowly, wondering, who did they choose for D and E and F? It's tough, 26. But I also do love that, Kate, you have said, with all respect to the women that get a lot of attention, Susan B., Rosa, Helen, and Gloria, you really wanted to introduce your readers to women they aren't likely to have heard of.
And Gloria Steinem did turn 81 yesterday, so happy birthday to her. She is absolutely a rad woman. But it's true. I wanted to open up that conversation. And, you know, when people talk about famous women they've heard from the past, I wanted to offer new names. So I was actually very gratified. I was in a second grade classroom doing a visit recently, and the first question a kid asked was, is Rosa Parks in this book? And I was able to say no, but Ella Baker is in here, and she was one of Rosa Parks' mentors. And the kids were like, oh, wow. So that's the kind of thing we were hoping to do. In terms of how we chose these 26 women, it was incredibly difficult and incredibly fun and informative. I began with my own list of people that I was inspired by and that I thought would be great, but I really wanted to move beyond my own heroes and the people I'd heard of. So I actually kind of crowdsourced it. I sent out a huge Facebook message to about 100 people that I knew and asked who they would include. From that, we got this great conversation going, people bringing up all kinds of names. I started a huge spreadsheet, and I spent quite some time working on it. By the time that Miriam and I partnered, I was maybe 75% kind of decided on names, and we collaborated to figure out the rest. Again, I wanted to have a real...
We changed a bunch along the way.
We changed.
Well,
oh,
because
yes.
Kate is a writer, so she was inclined to writers, right?
Yes, and there were way too many
I'm
writers.
I'm a visual artist, so I kept wanting to add visual artists. So we wanted diversity of things that women, amazing things women have done as well. And so we took out a lot of writers, and we also had a lot of social activists and political activists. So we added more scientists.
We sent a lot of text messages about different people. But we also were trying, again, we wanted to kind of prioritize racial and ethnic diversity, but we also wanted to really have a range of what these women have done. Also time period. We wanted to represent women who are still alive and active today, as well as people from the long ago past and the more recent past. So there was really this kind of, you know, balance that we were hoping to strike. It definitely means that there's a ton of amazing radical women who are not profiled in this book. There's 26. There could be 26,000. But hopefully it's a jumping off point for people and a conversation starter to get people thinking of, you know, who else they would include.
Well, I found that reading it, I wanted to know more about some of these women. And of course, online you can find documentaries about a lot of these women. So that was really fun. Today we are talking about this new children's book, the first City Lights children's book in its 60-year history, Rad American Women A to Z, Rebels, Trailblazers, and Visionaries Who Shaped Our History and Our Future. And today we're joined by Kate Schatz. She wrote the book. She's chair of the School of Literary Arts at the Oakland School for the Arts. And Miriam Klein-Stahl is the artist behind these beautiful illustrations of the women featured in the book. Miriam is a visual artist whose work incorporates drawing and traditional printmaking. She's co-founder of the Arts and Humanities Academy at Berkeley High. And of course, we'd love to get your take on who you would add to the book. On Facebook, I already have a few. Granny D., amazing woman who marched across the country fighting for campaign finance reform at the age of, I think, 90. She also ran for senator. Judy Berry, Angela Davis, who's in the book, Gloria Steinem. And if you have anyone you'd like to add, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Also, what are your thoughts on the children's books that you've come across, especially when you're looking for historical, educational, and empowering books for girls and for boys? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. I loved that I had not heard of a few of these women. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Queen Bessie Coleman.
Yes.
And I also love, so it's a page, and it's a one-page story of these women. You talk about what life was like for them when they were young. Bessie Coleman was 11 years old, living in Texas, when the Wright brothers completed their first successful airplane flight in 1903. When did you first learn about Queen Bessie?
I think that I learned about Queen Bessie Coleman because a good friend of mine, her daughter was Bessie Coleman for Halloween a few years ago. And I remember seeing a picture of this adorable little girl in this aviator costume, and I learned about her through that. You know, also, interestingly, when you are approaching the Oakland airport, they have a sign. They've basically renamed not the airport, but like the street leading up to the airport. They have named after Bessie Coleman, and they have a small but significant sign bearing her name.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be a big day when we can get an actual airport named after her. But so I've seen her name there. She's one of my favorite stories in here and one of my favorite illustrations, probably.
So tell us a little bit more about Queen Bessie.
She was the first African-American to get an international pilot's license, and she did it several years before Amelia Earhart. She was inspired by the stories of fighter pilots in World War I and wanted to fly planes. She grew up very poor in heavily segregated Texas, and She tried to enroll in aviation schools, but they turned her down because she was a Black woman. She was able to raise enough money and learn to speak French to go to France all by herself in the early 1900s. It's not in this book because I had to keep the story pretty short, but she connected with a couple Black entrepreneurs in the Midwest at the time who helped her raise money. And again, she took French lessons and went all by herself, enrolled in flight school. And she didn't just become a pilot. She became a barnstormer. So she was doing these crazy stunts. She was doing the loop-the-loops and the upside down, all in these tiny little early 20th century biplanes. And again, she was doing a lot of this before Amelia Earhart, who's our general go-to famous woman of flight.
Right.
There's footage of her online. You can see.
And also, you write that people called her Queen Bessie because she was the best and bravest female pilot mm-hmm. out there.
Yes. So she became, so she is the Q in our book. You know, her name is Bessie, B is for Bessie, but we wanted to put her in for Q is for Queen Bessie because that's how she was known.
How were you able to condense this into one page?
A lot of editing. Yeah, it was quite a challenge. I had really wonderful editorial help, both from Michelle T. and from Elaine Katzenberger at City Lights, and from my own friends. And even my students helped me with copy editing and helped. So that was certainly a challenge because there's so much to tell about these women's lives and stories. So I really worked to kind of boil it down without oversimplifying too much. You know, I think that the text and the illustrations work well together because Miriam's illustrations are also kind of a boiled down essence. They're black and white. They're paper cuts. She's working in a very kind of simple but still really nuanced and complex mm-hmm. way. And that was my goal with the text as well, to be able to get a lot of vivid detail and the basic elements of the story, but to keep it onto one page.
Right. And also, interesting enough for both children mm-hmm. and adults. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like I said, I was reading this with my mom and we both said, I wonder if there's any documentaries about this woman. Let's go online and find videos. And it seems like, and I'm hoping that these individual stories will be kind of springboards for people and children to say, oh, I want to know more about her.
Absolutely.
Let's go do some research.
Yeah, and the one page is so great from a parent perspective to when you're reading in bed at night to pull this book out and read about one woman. And then I found that my daughter really wants to talk about what mm-hmm. she just heard, mm-hmm. you know, for Queen Bessie. Why wasn't she allowed in schools in America? Why did she have to go to France? And so Kate has written it in such a beautiful way that all the information is there, but it also leads to inquiry after you read it.
It's such a good point. For older kids, why do we know about Amelia Earhart but not Queen Bessie Coleman? Mm-hmm. And I love, again, the illustrations, Miriam. So you've got the large letter Q is for Queen Bessie, and Bessie is in her pilot outfit, and then her plane is behind her. Talk about the process involved in illustrating these.
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure that when we could for the women, that we could make them active on the page, that it wasn't just a portrait. And that was a challenge for some of the women from the 1900s, that there wasn't much to go on. And again, for like Hazel Scott, the piano player, there was a lot of like beautiful portraits of her, pictures taken for like press, but there was no pictures of her actually playing. So I watched old videos of her playing piano and then drew the portrait from those. And so my process is I would draw onto black paper, and then on the black paper, I would decide the parts I want to be white, the parts I want to be black, and the parts that are white, I cut out with an X-Acto knife. And then that really, like Kate said, boils it down to a really bold and graphic kind of image that is very visible from far away, but still interesting up close.
So talk about Hazel Scott. This is a great photo of her playing piano. You can tell she's kind of rocking out at the same mm-hmm. time. So Hazel Scott's career took off, even though she faced major racism in her mm-hmm. life and her career. What did you learn about Hazel?
Yeah, and Hazel Scott was one of the people that I had never heard of when I started the process of researching this book. So there are several that I was totally unfamiliar with. So this was a huge learning process for me as well. And when I read about Hazel Scott, I was really taken by her story and wanted to write about her. She was this Renaissance woman. She came to the United States from Trinidad and Tobago when she was a young girl. She was a jazz prodigy early on. She was one of the youngest people ever accepted to Juilliard. She had her own nightclub act when she was in high school in New York City. And she was the first African-American to have her own variety show on television. She became a major actress, kind of on par with Lena Horne. That was kind of her main contemporary. But she also was very outspoken. She ended up standing up to one of the big Hollywood studio heads and really rejecting the kind of racist costuming decisions they were making in a film she was doing. And she ended up blacklisted. She testified before the House Committee on Un-American Activities, but was, you know, among many, many outspoken artists who were blacklisted. And she went to Paris. She played jazz there, and by the time she came back to the United States, her star had really kind of fallen. But she's a really incredible story. And again, there's great footage of her online playing. She plays like two pianos at once, and she's great.
And she passed away in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Schatz is the writer of the new children's book, Rad American Women A to Z. It's City Light's first ever children's book. It highlights the stories of 26 diverse, famous, and unsung heroines, artists, scientists, rock stars, rabble rousers. It's a unique book because it features an equal proportion of women of color and several members of the LGBT community. Kate is chair of the School of Literary Arts at Oakland School for the Arts, and Miriam Klein Stahl is the visual artist. She put the beautiful visuals together for this book. And Miriam is co-founder of the Arts and Humanities Academy at Berkeley High School. And if you'd like to join us, what women would you add to the book? Kate said she wanted to introduce readers to women they aren't likely to have heard of. So we talked about Hazel. We talked about Queen Bessie Coleman. There's so many other women in here that we will talk about, but we'd also like the women that you would add to this book. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. There's also a new campaign called We Need Diverse Books. There's a hashtag that has really taken off because a lot of people are talking about the fact that so few children's books are diverse, although things are getting much better. So if you'd like to talk about what you've seen on the shelves for kids, especially looking for historical, educational, and empowering books, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We're going to go to break in just a minute, but first, what has it been like reading some of these stories to kids? How are they responding?
It's been fantastic. I've done several school visits, and we're slated for a lot more. You know, Miriam and I, we're both educators, and we're also both moms. And, you know, my daughter is almost six, and I have a 20-month-old, and Miriam's daughter is seven. So reading to young people is something we're very comfortable with and familiar with, and really love it.
I just did a workshop at Malcolm X Elementary in Berkeley, my daughter's second grade class. Her teacher has taken this book and written so many great lessons with it.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Her class, they are making their own Rad American Women book. And so I went in and did a drawing workshop with them. And, you know, the entire class was so engaged with this process and excited to talk about women they thought were rad, boys and girls. And, you know, there's a lot of people think this is a book for girls, but the boys were so engaged with it. And it's part of the reason why I was really excited to make this book as well, is for young boys to also be engaged with it and see women as rad.
And I hold that thought. I'd love to hear more about how the boys are responding. Today we're talking about the new children's book, Rad American Women A to Z from City Lights. It's their first children's book. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
Your Call on Local Public Radio, KALW San Francisco. We invite you to join today's conversation. Perhaps you have a perspective that hasn't been heard on the program yet, or a question you feel needs to be answered. You can join us by calling 866-798-8255. Toll free, 866-798-TALK. You can send an email, question, or comment to feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11 o'clock from the BBC, it's World Have Your Say. And after that today, at noon, it's Bina.
Really open, but I'm waking on to
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. We'll be discussing coverage of the Republican budget, which includes $5.5 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars in cuts to the social safety net and environmental programs, and an extra $20 billion in military funding. We'll also talk about the role Citigroup played in the 2008 financial crisis. Coming up on Monday, we will mark Cesar Chavez Day by talking about the state of farm workers. Farm workers are currently on strike in Mexico, refusing to pick berries. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the state of farm workers in the United States. And then on Tuesday, we'll have a conversation with John Hargrove. He's a former orca trainer for SeaWorld, who's condemning their practices. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we're speaking about a great new children's book. It's City Light's first ever children's book as they celebrate their 60th anniversary. It's called Rad American Women A to Z, and it highlights the stories of 26 famous and unsung heroines, abolitionists, scientists, rock stars, rabble rousers. Some you've heard of, like A is for Angela Davis, P is for Patti Smith, R is for Rachel Carson. Some maybe you haven't heard of. Q is for Queen Bessie. We've got, let's see, M is for Maya Lin. W is for Wilma Mankiller. And we'll be talking about some of those women in a couple minutes. Who would you like to add to the list? And what are your thoughts on the state of children's books today, especially if you're looking for historical, educational, and empowering books? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Today I'm joined by Kate Schott. She's the writer of Rad American Women, A to Z, and chair of the School of Literary Arts at Oakland School for the Arts. Miriam Klein Stahl is the visual artist behind the book. She's co-founder of the Arts and Humanities Academy at Berkeley High School. Before the break, we were talking about how boys are reacting to the book. Miriam, what else can you tell us about, because you've done readings, and so what questions and what have boys brought up?
They've just been really excited. I don't know. I haven't spent a lot of time in a second grade class, so that was just totally cute. But, you know, everyone was raising their hands wanting to tell me about rad women they knew about or rad women in their family. And like I said before, working at the high school level, it's so important for me to address rape culture with these young boys that are going off to college. And so it was so encouraging for me to be in the second grade class and see these, you know, 7-year-old boys so excited about rad women. And I hope that our book, along with so many other great feminist books coming out, can address that need within our society.
Yeah. And similarly, I've also found that at the schools that I've visited so far, I've gone to a second grade classroom and a fourth grade classroom, and I've also just been sharing it with the children in my neighborhood and in my community. And yeah, boys are absolutely excited about it. You know, they're engaged. I haven't had a single, you know, oh, this book is for girls reaction. They're just as enthusiastic. And I went to a second grade classroom in Oakland recently, and afterwards, the one where the children asked me, oh, is Rosa Parks in it? And the little boy came up to me after, and he was so excited. And he said, did you not include Rosa Parks because we've all already heard of her? And I was like, yeah, but you're right. And he said, that's great, because now we can learn about new people. So
sweet.
He got it, and he was 7.
Well, we have a bunch of emails from listeners. Ted says, I listen every morning from my desk at work in Juneau, Alaska. I've never called before, but really feel inclined to drop you my vote for one of the most rad of contemporary women. That would be Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!
Yay, Amy Goodman.
She's run the test of time as a longstanding, brilliant journalist who excels in the fields of journalism by staying independent and consistent with an entirely unique approach to her task. Thank you, Ted, and I'm so glad you're listening from Alaska.
Thank you, Ted.
We have an email from Marcia. Our national park, Rosie the Riveter, is dedicated in large part to women who broke barriers. My favorite inspiration is our 93-year-old African-American park ranger, the oldest park ranger in the United States and one of the most inspiring. We have great girls' books in our gift and our park gift store, too. Thank you, Marcia. I've been wanting to check out that museum, so thank you so much for writing. Carol writes in, Patsy Takamoto Mink, Hawaii U.S. Congresswoman, first woman of color and first Asian American woman elected to Congress, principal author of Title IX of the Higher Education Act, which prohibited gender discrimination in all federally funded educational institutions.
Yes, and I want to say about Patsy Mink, she's one of the 15 women that are currently candidates for the Women on 20s campaign, which is a great campaign that's been taking off to get a woman on the $20 bill. The year 2020 is the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, and there's this fantastic movement that's getting a lot of traction, and they have 15 different women you can vote for who should replace Andrew Jackson on the 20, and Patsy Mink is one of them. Rachel Carson is one of them, who's in our book, and they've also just announced that they're adding Wilma Mankiller to that list as well. So you can look up womenon20s.org and cast your vote.
So let's talk about Wilma Mankiller. Mm-hmm. She's another woman in your book, first woman to head a Native American tribe. Did you know much about Wilma before you did this research?
I did not know much about Wilma, especially kind of her backstory and how she was connected to the Bay Area and how she was, you know, I mean, she really found her political activism during the occupation of Alcatraz. That's what inspired her and motivated her. She was kind of part of the Indian Relocation Act in the 1950s when her family was moved from Oklahoma, from their land to the Bay Area. And it wasn't until the Alcatraz occupation that she was kind of galvanized and did a lot of her early work in Oakland and in San Francisco before returning to her family's land in Oklahoma. One thing I wanted to point out about Wilma Mankiller, and yes, she was the first female head of the Cherokee tribe, but that's, you know, a friend of mine actually has worked closely with her family, and he made the point to me that, you know, that's a very Western notion of leadership. Mm. And traditionally in Native American, many tribes and cultures, many of them had matriarchal structures, and women were very powerful leaders. So it's not that she's the first ever leader. It's the first one to be recognized in this kind of particular way that we recognize leadership.
Yeah, such a great point. Mm-hmm. And Miriam, what was it like to do the visual design of Wilma Mankiller? Mm-hmm. What strikes you about this? She looks like she's really thinking in this.
Yeah, there is a lot of footage of her giving speeches online. And again, this is one where I couldn't find the perfect source image to draw from. And so I used a couple different things to create this illustration. And I was really drawn in to just her stance when she gave speeches and how powerful of a speaker she was. And so I tried to capture that with the hand movement in this illustration.
And Wilma Mankiller was born in 1945 and passed away in 2010.
Mm-hmm. And her husband, Charlie Soap, is actually currently running for chief of the Cherokee tribe in Oklahoma right now. He's on a campaign at this moment. Hmm.
Yeah, there was such a cool picture of her, too, at Alcatraz as a really young woman. But I wanted to use this one of her as an older woman.
And that is Miriam Kleinstahl. She's a visual artist. She provided the art for the new children's book, Rad American Women. Oh, I should also mention that there will be a bookstore release party this Saturday at 12:30. At City Lights. City Lights has a lot to celebrate. Its 60th anniversary and its first ever children's book, Rad American Women, mm-hmm. A to Z, illustrated by Miriam Kleinstahl, written by Kate Schatz. Kate is chair of the School of Literary Arts at the Oakland School for the Arts, and Miriam is co-founder of the Arts and Humanities Academy at Berkeley High. And if you'd like to join us, who would you add to the book? And what are your overall thoughts on the state of children's books today, the diversity in the books, books that empower boys and girls? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you work in education or in libraries, we'd love to hear from you. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's go to Nancy in San Francisco. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I wonder if you mention any female athletes in the book. Mm-hmm. And I have in mind Babe Diedrichson Zaharias, who is a famous athlete in the 40s and 50s. She was an all-around athlete. She competed in the 1932 Olympics in track and field. And she did a lot for women's golf. She was an outstanding golfer, and she was one of the women who founded the Ladies Professional Golf Association, the LPGA.
Yes, Babe is amazing. She is not in our book. She almost was. Our B is actually for Billie Jean King, the athlete and tennis player and LGBT activist. And we also have FloJo. F is for FloJo, the fastest woman in the world. So those are the two athletes that we have represented in here. Babe is she's pretty phenomenal as well.
Thank you for calling, Nancy. I loved FloJo's story. So FloJo lived with her mom and 10 siblings in a housing project. You write, Kate, that no one really expected much from her, but she knew she was unique. She loved colorful clothes and did her hair in all kinds of cool styles. And talk about just how she kind of found this passion for running.
Well, she played with her siblings, and they would play games running around their house and their yard, and she realized she was fast. She competed all through her youth, elementary school, middle school, high school, breaking records, and went on to make the track team in college. She had to drop out of college. She decided to actually drop out and get a job to help support her family, and it was because of a coach who really encouraged her that she was able to help, you know, get financial aid and return to school and then go on to the Olympics. So this is one of the stories that I particularly like reading to really young people because it's exciting. It's about this really fast, strong athlete. You know, she runs really fast, but there's also, it's a real story of struggle and then really of triumph.
And I love it also because she dropped out of school, became a bank teller. And then her coach, as you said, you're too good. You've got to pursue this. And she loved beautiful clothes as a child. Mm-hmm. And she actually designed her own running outfits. I was looking online for images and they're just wild.
Those one-legged, bright, super flashy.
She was the only illustration that was a bummer that I could not use color because she designed the most amazing running outfits. And you can't tell totally on this illustration, but one leg is fabric and one leg is bare. And she often ran like that. Mm-hmm. So unique.
And I was saddened to learn, I didn't know this, but she died at a very young age, at age 38. Mm-hmm. She had a seizure.
Yes, she did. And, you know, there was, again, it's not quite in this book, but there's been a lot of controversy around her with was she using performance-enhancing drugs. And she never once failed a drug test. She always tested positive, always completely clean. And, you know, there are people who doubt some of her records, but I really wanted to avoid that part of the narrative because she holds these records. She was incredibly fast. And, you know, that's what we talk about in this story.
All right. Well, thank you again for calling in, Nancy. And if you'd like to join us today, we're talking about the new children's book, Rad American Women. It's the first children's book published by City Lights. And there's going to be a book launch party this Saturday at City Lights at 12:30. And you can find more information at yourcallradio.org. There will also be a lot of events at the end of April. And we're joined by Kate Schatz. She wrote the book. And Miriam Klein-Stahl provided the visuals for the book. And who would you add to this book? We're talking about women who are famous and some women that maybe you've never heard of. 26 diverse, famous, and unsung heroines, abolitionists, scientists, rock stars, rabble-rousers. Who would you add to the list? And then what comments do you have about the state of children's books today? Kate Schatz was looking for an empowering book for her 2-year-old daughter. She wasn't really satisfied with what she found, so she decided to write her own. And then I mentioned earlier that there was a piece in the New York Times last year that pointed out that in 2013, there were just, out of 3,200 children's books published, just 93 were about Black people. But this is getting a lot more attention, and children's book authors and people in the publishing industry say it is starting to really change. So if you have any comments on that, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Danielle writes in, Wilma Mankiller. What is with her last name? And you have that in the story.
I do. I actually... The original translated version from her family's tribe was actually white man killer, but her family dropped the white part, and the last name is just man killer. And yeah, that was she is a descendant of a chief, a very powerful ancestor chief, and that was his last name.
Hmm. Well, thank you for the question. And again, there is a campaign to change the face on the $20 bill to a woman, and Wilma Mankiller is in the running. Mm-hmm. What is the process for that?
I believe that you can go onto the website. They have 15 candidates, and anybody can go on and vote for their top three. It includes women like Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Susan B. Anthony, Shirley Chisholm, Patsy Mink, Eleanor Roosevelt. You can go and vote. And based on the top three vote getters, they are going to actually, I believe the plan is to present them to President Obama and the powers that be and see if they can gain enough momentum to make that change. Our currency hasn't changed since, I believe, the late 1920s. Huh. And so they want to bring our currency into the 21st century.
Well, we have a few more recommendations. Bill writes in, how about Beatrix Potter, author of 23 or so children's books when there wasn't really such a thing as a children's books, but also she made a significant biological discovery presented to the Royal Society, helped the sheep farmers of the lakes preserve their farms, herds, and livelihood, and helped get the lakes into the National Trust System, basically making it a national park in Britain. Most people know about her for her kids' books, but she was also a force. Thank you for that, Bill.
That is so cool. I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Alan writes in, how about Sylvia Earle? She has broken more walls down than her male counterparts only thought of doing. Are you familiar with Sylvia Earle? She's a major, incredible woman who does a lot of ocean work. Mm. She was the first woman to really take dives with men to study the ocean and underwater life. And actually, Alan, she's on our guest list, so we're hoping to have her on soon. Thank you for that one. Lisa writes, I'd add Chris Williamson and the collective of Olivia Records, Judy Dulzak, for making music and images of women that encouraged me to be comfortable in my own skin, create my own definition of woman and gender expression, and to embrace the life of an independent artist. Sarah Bush, artistic director, Rocked by Women show celebrates women's musicians. Mother's Day weekend in Oakland. This is a dance performance called Rocked by Women, and it focuses on Mother's Day. Thank you for that, and we will add a link to our website. We have another one from Ash and Felton, Josephine Baker, mm-hmm. an American-born French dancer, singer, and actress who came to be known in various circles as the Black Pearl. She was the first Black woman to star in a major motion picture. She refused to perform for segregated audiences in America and is also noted for her contributions to the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. So many amazing women out there.
All great suggestions. Absolutely.
Miriam, what was it like for you when you sat down to illustrate, when you read all of these stories? What really stood out for you? I mean, reading them last night, it was just so inspiring.
I think I actually made all the paper cuts before they were written by Kate. So you can ask that question to Kate. What was it like to have the paper cuts and then write the story?
Yeah, it was, it was wonderful. I loved seeing, one of the things about Miriam's illustrations is that I feel like they have so much personality. And that's what we were striving for. Again, especially with women from, 19th century, where most images are very composed, kind of staid, serious portraits. There is so much life and personality and energy in these. So I was able to kind of draw from that while I was writing the bios and try to do the same thing, as we said, in the writing. Make it dynamic, make it engaging, make it a history text that could be fun to read. Mm.
So, Miriam, what was it like for you when you read the book in its entirety?
So great. I'm a big fan of Kate Schatz.
Back at you, Stahl.
We have a number of listeners on the line, so let's hear from Erica in Santa Cruz. Hi, Erica. Welcome to the show.
I just wanted to thank the ladies so much for writing this book. I've been a child care provider off and on for about 10 years. I've read a lot of books to a lot of kids, and one thing I noticed across the board is that there is an inherent bias in terms of it's always the male who's used as the main character, the lead. It's from a male perspective, the like his, him is the perspective, and it tends to be always males who lead the story in a book, even if it's female characters like the grandpa leading the granddaughter, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. And I just feel more powerful just hearing about this book.
Thank you. And I want to note that we've been partnering with a wonderful organization, a nonprofit called Raising a Reader, that's based here in the Bay Area. And they work with early childhood educators, preschool teachers, home daycare providers. And they basically do training on how to read out loud to young people, how to introduce early literacy, and how to be effective readers, which I think it's easy to think that's not much of a skill, but if you get in front of a group of children with a book, it actually is quite a skill to really engage them. So Raising a Reader is really excited about sharing this book with very young children. And, you know, again, I like to describe this as a children's book for everyone.
Well, and also you have received so many reviews, which really proves there's a need for a book like this.
It's true. This might be a good time to mention that the first printing of this book is actually completely sold out.
Congratulations. That's great.
So the second print run is happening now. So your listeners who are excited about getting a copy might have to wait a few weeks. We will have copies on Saturday at City Lights, and you can call your local independent bookseller and ask if they've gotten a copy yet.
Great. But, and also I understand at the Saturday event, you'll be able to bring a T-shirt and then get a print of the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And you're providing
not of the cover. It's I won't tell you who it's of, but
okay.
It's a woman in the book.
Cool.
You'll be surprised when you come. And if you do bring something to be printed on, it's black ink, so bring a light color.
So cloth,
anything
or a t-shirt,
flat.
Okay. A onesie, a tote bag.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Great. And that is this Saturday at City Lights in San Francisco in North Beach at 12:30. You can find information at yourcallradio.org. There will also be events next month in Berkeley, Oakland, San Jose, Alameda, and Corte Madera. Yourcallradio.org. And let's go to our next caller, Julie in Soquel, near Santa Cruz. Hi, Julie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. It's a wonderful sounding book. I'm delighted. And people have asked about, you know, books for where they can find books. I wanted to tell you about two fabulous resources. One is that the Jane Addams Foundation gives awards every year to the best of both younger and older children's books that speak to social justice issues, and particularly around issues of women and women's lives. And you can go online to the Jane Addams Foundation, and they have a wonderful listing of terrific books for kids from about 6 through about 14. This year's winner was one of them was a book about Clara Lemlich, a wonderful organizer of strikes who came here, a union organizer of the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. It was one of the prizes. And one was about a young girl in Afghanistan looking for a way to get schooling. I mean, it's a great mm-hmm. list. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one, which is you go to childpeacebooks.org, which is a listing of books for kids from 2 through 7, which, again, are books that really support social justice issues. And one of the categories is a category around non-stereotypical women and girls. Mm-hmm. And you can find books for all these different ages. They're great resources, and we need as many of these books as we can get. I'm so glad. I'm so impressed that some people who are teaching high school are finding time to do this.
Yes, and they also have children.
Yep, that tends to be part of the package with the amazing people, and I just thank you so much for the books.
All right, well, thank you so much for sharing those resources, Julie. We'll add some links to yourcallradio.org. You want to jump in, Kate?
Yeah, those are wonderful resources. The Jane Addams Book Prize is fantastic. Another resource that I wanted to share with listeners is A Mighty Girl. A Mighty Girl, I believe, .org is a wonderful website, and it's a great place to find information about books, games, all kinds of media that is empowering for young girls. Their Facebook page is great. They share wonderful stories on a daily basis, and I used that a lot, actually, as a resource when I was getting started with this book. They have T-shirts, you know, empowering T-shirts, everything. So please check out A Mighty Girl.
Great. Thank you for that one. And let's go next to Peggy in Aptos. Hi, Peggy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to first thank both women for the book and to ask if they did include or knew of Dr. Mae Jemison, an African-American woman physician, astrophysicist, and NASA astronaut.
Yes, Mae Jemison is not in this book. She's actually someone who I really wanted to include and in the end did not. But she is really incredible, and she's a great story as well. So thank you for mentioning her.
Thank you, Peggy. We have time for one more caller, Martha in Oakland. Hi, Martha.
Hi. Oh, great. Great, I'm on. I wanted to mention Muriel Rukeyser.
Yes.
Great poet, activist all of her life. She's a female Walt Whitman, under-recognized. She covered, one of the things she covered was the Gauley Bridge mining disaster in the 1930s, the first big Union Carbide environmental disaster, and 2,000 workers, mostly African-American, died of silicosis. She wrote a long poem about it called U.S. One, a documentary poem, which is just fabulous. But she was also president of American PEN in the 80s.
Yes, I love Muriel Rukeyser. We mentioned earlier, my original list was almost all writers. I could do a whole Rad Writers book. So thank you. She's an amazing poet.
Thank you so much. Okay, so we have a minute left, and I love X. Love, 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 X. It's for the women whose names we don't know, for the women whose voices were not heard, for the radical histories that didn't get recorded, for all we don't know about the past, but X is also for the future.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with this idea?
You know what? I have to give credit to an acquaintance, a friend of mine named Jen Hoffer. She's a poet and a translator. And when I was doing my Facebook brainstorm early on, she threw out, well, what about X is for the women whose names we don't know? It stuck in my head. And as I did more research and realized how many names I don't know and how many stories we'll just never know, but also how much hope there is with young people and how much is to come, it really stuck with me. And we decided to go with that. And Miriam did these wonderful silhouette images of women doing all kinds of activities, skateboarding, science, parents, construction workers, bikers. And this is the page that Miriam's daughter has been reading at our events. She'll be reading this page on Saturday. And it's also my daughter's favorite page to look at.
Oh, that's great. I think it's almost my favorite one because, Miriam, just quick final thoughts on X.
Yeah, thanks to all the exes out there listening to the radio right now. And I'd like to just give a shout out to all the supportive librarians. All librarians are ex. Mm-hmm. And thank you for your support of our book.
Yep.
Miriam Klein-Stahl provided the visual arts for Rad American Women A to Z. Kate Schatz wrote the book, and there will be a bookstore release party this Saturday at 12:30 at City Lights in San Francisco. It's City Lights' first children's book. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. Kate and Miriam, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, and thank
on
you for joining
us.
It's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll discuss coverage of the Republican budget, which includes $5.5 trillion in cuts to the social safety net and environmental programs, and an extra $20 billion in military funding. We'll also talk about the role Citigroup played in the 2008 financial crisis. We'll be joined by Harper's Andrew Coburn and the Huffington Post's Kate Shepard. Where did you see the best reporting this week? Join the conversation with guest host Mark Hertzgard and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Nock Nguyen produces the show. Malihe Razazan is senior producer, and Matt Martin is executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.